Sorry about the technical difficulties, but we'll get through this. Tonight we'll be looking at the Book of Ruth in our study of the Bible overview. And let's see, here we go. It's written about 1030 to 1010 BC, and it covers only four chapters, the Book of Ruth. It was written in the period, the first part of the era of Judges. And we'll see a contrast between Judges, which showed that they had a nation of sin, and they rebelled against God. And in Ruth, we're going to see the opposite side of that. We're going to see how the people of Israel followed the law. And we're going to see that in the Book of Ruth. The key thought in the Book of Ruth is Kinsman Redeemer. And it's a picture of Jesus. Like I said, when we look at each and every book, we're going to see Jesus in each and every one of these books. And it's really encouraging to us that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, shows us Jesus the Christ. In the contents of the Book of Ruth, we're going to see Ruth and Naomi leave Moab for Israel. And Ruth, when she gets to Bethlehem, works as a gleaner. And does anybody know what a gleaner is?
One who picks up after the harvest is done.
Exactly. When the workers pick whatever crop it is, the gleaners come in and they pick up after them for their sustenance. There is a Redeemer. And our kinsman, our Redeemer, okay, can I get a volunteer for Ruth to read Ruth 1 verses 1 through 5, please?
During the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem in Judah with his wife and two sons to live in the land of Moab for a while. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the land of Moab and settled there. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. Her sons took Moabite women as their wives, one named Orpah, and the second was named Ruth. After they lived in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two children and without her husband.
Thank you very much, Kim. So we see this sets the stage of what's happening in the story in the Book of Ruth. There was a great famine, and Elimelech thought he would do better by moving his family to Moab. And they did. In that time period, he died. And Naomi had two sons who took Moabite women as wives. One was Orpah, the other was Ruth. And they stayed in Moab for about 10 years. And then again, the sons died. And the women were bereaved along with Naomi. Now, not to read a lot into this, we know that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 3, when Moses was given the law to the children of Israel, that particular verse says that the children of Israel should not intermarry. And we don't know what happened, whether or not Orpah and Ruth became converted to Judaism. We don't know. And we can't read into that. All we know is that in this particular section, Naomi tries to persuade her daughter-in-laws to go back to their families. But we see that Ruth wants to stay with Naomi. Naomi must have been a strong influence on her. So Ruth was a Moabite. And after the death of her husband, Ruth agreed to return with her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi, to Israel. And this was a remarkable leap of faith for Ruth. She was going to leave her people in Moab and go to a foreign land with Naomi. We see that Naomi's wisdom and grace, wisdom and God's grace, they moved from a situation of being beggars in Bethlehem, because Ruth was gleaning in the fields of Boaz, and Boaz took a liking to her and fell in love with her. And as we transverse through the chapters, we will see that he was kind and a generous husband. And in chapter 4, we're going to read that Ruth and Boaz had a baby boy named Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of King David. This being a short book, but it has a lot of significance in the lineage of Jesus. And God works in mysterious ways. And this is one of the ways that he's sharing with us today as we not only read and study the book of Ruth, but we apply it to our lives. We see the kind of individual Ruth was. She was a Gentile, but yet she wanted to worship and serve God. Boaz, a relative of Naomi on the husband's side, fulfilled his duty as a kinsman redeemer, outlined in the Mosaic law to redeem an impoverished relative from his or her circumstances. That was written in the law. Can I get someone to read Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 through 49, please?
Did you say Leviticus 25?
Chapter 25, 47 through 49, please.
Okay. Now, if the means of a stranger or of a sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a stranger's family, then he shall have redemption right after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him, or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. Is that right?
Yeah, that's, I think,
part of integrity in his relationships, in business and personal dealings. He was a faithful Israelite. He wanted to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's an encouragement for you and I today. How we deal with relationships, how we deal in business relationships, and how we deal with our personal relationships. Boaz was above board, and that's the way you and I should be as Christians. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. We should stand for the truth. We should treat everybody. Has exercised. And Jesus Christ redeems us, the spiritual impoverished from the slavery of sin. His will, provided we are faithful, provided we live a righteous life. Brothers and sisters, the opportunity that we have today, that we could read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the path of righteousness. When Christ redeemed us, he makes us his kinsmen.
Lenny, I find it interesting that Moab is not listed in Deuteronomy 7 among the tribes that Israel was told to avoid. If you go back and read Deuteronomy 7 at verse 3, Moab is not listed there. So this would not have been a forbidden marriage under the Old Testament laws. Now, she was a foreigner, and for that reason, what Boaz did was an outstanding gesture. You're right. But she was not forbidden, nor were Ruth's sons forbidden to take her as a wife.
Exactly. I think I lost my power. Can everybody see that slide? Share. I think my connection, I lost my connection here. And okay. And I missed all of your comments, Dean. I just picked up absolutely right. Getting back to Ruth, she is an example of a virtuous woman, as seen in Proverbs 31. We go to the text. Ruth was devoted to a family, Naomi. And we read in Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Can I get a volunteer for that reading, please?
And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. You know, but do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking of her.
Thank you, Bill. So we see Ruth was very devoted to a family. And she wanted to also worship Naomi's God, Jehovah God. We see in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of a husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." And Ruth falls into that category. And if you're a young man, you are looking for a wife, this is the type of wife you are looking for. And it's outlined in Proverbs 31. We also see that Ruth was faithful, dependent on God. Can I get a volunteer to read Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, please?
"May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge."
Thanks, James. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Lenny.
That's Ruth's attitude, to put God first, to always put God in your life. And we read in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." What a marvelous individual Ruth was. And women, Christian women, should model their lives after Ruth, putting God first, putting their family second, and putting themselves third. We also see that Ruth was a woman of godly speech. Her words were loving, kind, and respectful, both to Naomi and to Boaz. So when you read the book of Ruth, you could see what type of individual Ruth was. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Very profound statement. And when you look at Ruth, she was kind to both Naomi and Boaz and respectful. That's a lesson for each and every one of us. When we go through life, we should be using our speech in such a way that we don't put someone down. We are kind to those individuals and respectful. This is an avenue that we all can improve on. Because when your speech is full of grace and love and kindness, you're going to display Christ to others. And the book of Ruth was written to the Israelites. It teaches that genuine love at
We lost you again, Lenny. I don't think you can hear us here.
One of the things that really comes to me is the fact that Naomi and her family taught Ruth about God, and she had faith before all of this stuff transpired, faith enough to stay with Naomi and God.
Exactly. She was around Naomi, and Naomi, she had a concern that they left Bethlehem and they should have stayed in Bethlehem, but she followed. She was a faithful spouse that went with her husband, and she stayed true to God. And that, as Carol had indicated, was something that rubbed off on Ruth, and she saw the good qualities of Naomi and wanted to follow in her footsteps. And the sovereignty of our great God is clearly seen in the story of Ruth. He guided her every step of the way to become his child and fulfill his plan for her to become an ancestor of Jesus Christ. When you look at Ruth, the book of Ruth, it plays an integral part in the genealogy of Jesus. And we're going to go through that in a couple of following slides. Can I get a volunteer to read Ruth chapter 4, verse 17, please?
The neighbor women gave him the name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they called him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Thank you. So we see that Ruth was... Ruth's life is integrated into the genealogy of Jesus. Now, when you look at the genealogy, you're going to say, well, shouldn't Jesus have come through the lineage of Israel, pure Israel? But when we look at this, Ruth's a Gentile, and she's added into that mix. So God works in mysterious ways by adding not only his chosen people, the Israelites, but he added the Gentiles also. So we're going to get into the genealogy of Jesus now. Can I get a volunteer to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, please?
Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Genesis 38:1-29. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, Aminadab is the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab, Joshua 2:1. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth 4:17, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12:24, who had been the wife of Uriah.
Thank you. And as we continue, we'll see that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, so is called the Messiah.
Thank you. So we see in the book of Matthew the genealogy laid out by Matthew with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We see five women, Tamar, and we can read about her in Genesis chapter 38, 1 through 29. We can see Rahab, and we talked about her while we were in the book of Joshua, how she assisted the 12 spies. And now we see Ruth in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 17, who had a son, Obed, who was the father of Jesse. And as you continue in 2 Samuel 12 and 24, we see that David fathered Solomon with Bathsheba. And then Mary, who was a virgin, Messiah was born to her. So we see five different women that are included in the genealogy of Jesus, in Matthew and also in Luke. And it's interesting to note that this guy, Salmon, is not even mentioned in the book of Joshua or anywhere else in the Old Testament. He is only when Matthew and Luke put forth Jesus's genealogy line that we see this man, the one who married Rahab. So it's important when we read not only the Old Testament, we look at the New Testament, because they are integrated together, and it gives us more.
Yeah, it's interesting that in Matthew, you have the genealogy of Joseph. If you look at it in Luke, you have the genealogy of Mary. And in the case of Joseph, you find these foreign women, but they are not in the line of Mary, who is in some sense Jesus' only earthly progenitor.
Uh-huh. So I started off with Talmud. Did you hear what I was saying? I know my connection was kind of...
Tamar.
I know my connection was bad. But she was one of the women that was included in Jesus' genealogy. And if you look at Genesis 38 verses 1 through 29, we could see her part, what she did, where she posed as a prostitute and had a child with Judah. So I'll let you read that yourselves. If you go to the second person, Rahab, she was clearly a prostitute when you look at the book of Joshua. And she was a Gentile living in Jericho. And this, she displayed kindness to the spies that went into Jericho that Joshua sent. And also, she was providing financial assistance to her parents and siblings. And she was willing to hide those spies so that the Israelites will defeat Jericho. And she showed compassion with her heart as she hid the spies on her roof. So she was looking for something other than what she, her plight was when she lived in Jericho. She saw that the God of Israel, Jehovah God, was the one to follow. And she was willing to do that at all costs. And as Wes had read, she was in Jesus' genealogy. And Ruth, a Gentile, a widow, but this woman's sexual purity has not been compromised. In fact, the highest words of praise are spoken by Boaz in identifying her as a woman of virtue, a woman of noble character. Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. And she is a woman who, from the time she heard the name Yahweh, had been an earnest follower thanks to the instruction of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And following Naomi's sound advice, Ruth entreats Boaz to marry her and provide for her and Naomi in their old age, provision which will come in form of a precious son. And that was Obed. So we see that Ruth, again, is a woman that we find in the genealogy of Jesus. And of course, we know about Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. She married David, but she didn't belong to him. She was seduced by the king. And to some extent, she was complacent, though as the powerful one in a relationship with David, clearly carries the blame. David instigated the adultery with this beautiful wife of one of his finest generals. And what he did to hide this sin, to protect himself, he had Uriah placed in battle where he was sure to be killed. And the story of is full of death, from the child who came out of this adulterous union died too. You know, David sinned. What a sin he committed. And to cover that sin, he murdered someone or had someone killed. But yet David was a man after God's own heart. So we all sin. We all fall short of the mark. We all have different temptations on our lives. But we can correct that by going to God through Christ Jesus. And eventually God's mercy, David repents and God grants a son, Solomon, to him. And now his legitimate wife, Bathsheba, and through Solomon, we see Messiah flows through. And finally, Mary, and she wasn't sinless, but yet she's like you and I. She's human. But she was a godly, virtuous, and a young Jewish girl. And she was officially married to Joseph, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, and we read that. And Mary is a Jewish. She was a virgin to whom no taint of sexual scandal had come. She devoted herself to God. And to him she entrusts herself, her reputation, her future, and her entire hope. That is amazing when you look at Mary. And when the angel appeared to tell her she would be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she believes and accepts what has never happened before. You can read that account in Luke chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. And Mary says, I am. Now, here's five women in the genealogy of Jesus. Chapter 3, we read about these women who were, and regardless of our lot in life, we can live according to the precepts of God. And these women did, Ruth did, and genuine love and kindness will be rewarded. That's something that each and every one of us should strive for, to project the love we have, the kindness we have towards others. And God abundantly blesses those who seek to live obedient lives. He extends mercy to the merciful. And when you look at your life today, what a blessing it is to have God in your life. What a privilege it is to show him the honor, the glory that only God deserves. And we belong to a loving, faithful, and powerful God who has never failed to care and provide for his children. We have seen that in the book of Exodus. We have seen that in the book of Joshua. We have seen that in the book of Judges. And now, like Ruth and Boaz, in the book of Ruth, we are called to respond to that divine grace and faithful obedience in spite of what godless culture in which we live in. And when we look at our world around us, it may not be the same things that the people in the past went undergone, but yet in the culture that we live in, it's frightening to have all this sin and people accepting it. But as Christians, we should follow the example of Ruth and Boaz. We should follow the example of being faithful to God, no matter what happens to us, because God will extend his grace and mercy to us. The book of Ruth teaches us a number of lessons. It teaches us about loyalty. It teaches us about the Messiah. It teaches us to honor God. It also teaches us to note that God is working behind the scenes. God is guiding Ruth through this ordeal. And he's also with us today. Loyalty. In contrast to her sister-in-law, Orpah, Ruth would not leave the side of Naomi. She wanted to learn more about God. Her words in Ruth chapter 1, 16 and 17 powerfully summarize her loyal heart. She could not be more committed That's an encouragement to you and I, to always be loyal to God, no matter what the cost is to us individually. We should dedicate our lives to God. We should be committed to serving Him. We should always be putting Him first. And Boaz, like by Boaz, repaid her loyalty with his own. He becomes loyal to her, not just as a family redeemer, but as a husband, as a partner in life, as a best friend. And finally, the book of Ruth magnifies God's loyalty as He takes care of Naomi, brings Ruth and Boaz together, and gives them a special place in His plan. And that is that they're in the genealogy of Jesus. Also, we learn in the book of Ruth about the Messiah. Jesus is of the lineage of Judah, descendant from the king, from King David. Matthew 1, verses 1 through 2. Although the book of Ruth says nothing about David, the strong emphasis at the end, both in Ruth chapter 4, verse 17, a son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And with the genealogy from Perez to David, Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, which concludes the book, shows the author intent to point towards the promised Messiah through the line of David. So we see in the Old Testament that Jesus is going to come through the lineage of David. We also see in the book of Ruth that these individuals honored God. Boaz first recorded words in the scripture are, "The Lord will be with you." He was a godly man who was concerned about obeying the Lord. He is set forth as an example of someone who follows the Mosaic law. He is an example for you and I today. We should be concerned about obeying God. We should be following His example, not following the Mosaic law, but God's law that we're under in the New Testament. Because he honored God, he blessed his employees, Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. He cared for the poor, Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. And he dealt in his business manners ethically and wisely, Ruth chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, and Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And if you remember in the fourth chapter, there was another relative who had priority over Boaz in the Kinsman Redeemer position. And Boaz approached him, and this individual relinquished his spot to Boaz. So read that account. It's pretty interesting. And God repaid Boaz by giving him a wife and a son, Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, and allowed him to be in the lineage of Jesus, Ruth chapter 4, verse 21. And then finally, we see that God is at work behind the scenes. And you know, you look at your life, you could see that God is there for you. You could see how He is guiding you. You read, you pray about wisdom, you pray about guidance, and He's there. He will assist you. And we see in Ruth, there was The story begins with several trials, famine, death, and poverty. And as the story develops, it becomes apparent that God is working to bring two people together to bless them and to carry on his plan in the fourth chapter of Ruth. And we don't see that God, statements like God did this or the Lord did that. Instead, we see human decisions that bring about the will of God.
I do think it's interesting that as you look at all of...
I'm sorry, I lost my connection. Did everybody see the last slide about God working behind the scenes?
Yes.
Okay.
I tried to say something.
Thank you. And did I cut somebody off talking, Dean? Was that you?
Yeah, I was just saying that when you look at these people that are in the genealogy of Jesus, David and Rahab, and all of these people that are in the genealogy, you see God using people who fell pretty far short of what we expect God to be using. And I think that's a testimony to the inspiration of the biblical record. If I was writing about my family and I had somebody in my family who was like David and committed adultery and did all of these things, or I had somebody like Rahab who had been a prostitute, I probably wouldn't include them in the genealogy.
Yeah, but
God does.
Exactly.
You know, I would maybe mention their names, but if I wanted to make this person about whom I was writing seem to be an important person, I wouldn't include these people. But exactly. God does. God is so different than the way that we think.
And when you look at the genealogy, one thing that impresses me, that he uses Gentiles. He combines them in the lineage of Jesus. And it's important. Gentiles are included in the plan of salvation. And the first century Christians, some of them understood that, but a lot of the people who were converted from Judaism, they didn't see that. And it's important we recognize that God wants all mankind to be saved. Not just a certain people. He wants everyone. So it's up to you and I today to share that message. Are there any other comments or questions about the lesson tonight? I know I cut off a couple of times. It must have been my internet connection on this end. I was having trouble with it the last couple of days. And next week, Lord willing, we will be back in the Eugene area. And it may be a little transparent when I'm back home and at the building.